He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Dear friends, that never gets old. Our text, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, there was a certain butcher who was down to his last cleaned chicken in the freezer. A woman came in and says, "I would like a poultry." So the butcher went back and rummaged around and brought the chicken out and laid on the counter and says, "That's $4.75." The woman says, "I was hoping you had a little bit bigger one." The butcher thinks for a moment and goes back and drops the same chicken into the freezer, ruffles around and pulls the same chicken out, lays it on the counter and says, "That's $5.25." She says, "I guess I'll take both of them." Our gospel lesson for today addresses the role of the good shepherd. And one of the roles of a shepherd is to have integrity. That butcher must have turned about five shades of red when his sin was exposed. But you see, a shepherd is one who is faithful, who takes the work that is placed before him with all seriousness. In fact, a shepherd is faithful to the point of even death. See, he'll bind up the wounds of the sheep that have been injured, and he'll take care of their scratches, their bumps, and their bruises. The shepherd will lead the flock to green pastures and clear water and provide safety. Safety not only from the predators that live around them that seek to devour them, but safety also from those that would steal away the sheep and to call them their own. The story is told of a beautiful Sunday afternoon in California's Santa Ana Mountains. Susan Small and her five-year-old daughter by the name of Laura were wandering around down to a pond to watch the tadpoles swim around. Suddenly, a mountain lion jumps out of the underbrush and grabs a hold of young Laura and pulls her into the bushes and out of sight, before the mother even had the chance to say, "The lion has my daughter." When she finally mustered the voice, a hiker some 200 yards away came running to her aid and plunged right into the undergrowth and came face to face with a lion now protecting its soon-to-be meal. The hiker grabbed a branch off a dead tree and began trying to jab the mountain lion in the eye. Several tense moments in the standoff continued. Would that mountain lion rip young Laura apart, or would he lunge at the hiker and seek a larger meal? Suddenly, the lion began to loosen its grip, and Laura's limp body fell to the ground. It appeared that the lion had made up his mind that he wanted a larger meal than the hiker. But no, finally it turned and darted into the underbrush and disappeared from sight. The terrified mother came running to her daughter's aid, who was alive, although scraped and bruised. Perhaps the best known symbol of a shepherd is the shepherd's crook, with that curved end that the shepherd may grab a hold of the sheep at a distance and pull them to safety, and the butted end for defending it from all the wildlife that would seek to take its life. As I thought about the crook of the shepherd, I began to think, but what would Jesus, the good shepherd's crook, look like? It didn't take me too long to figure it out. The staff that Jesus carries is his cross. You see, he refused to run away. He was there to defend his flock. He would never abandon them. And ultimately, this good shepherd made the ultimate sacrifice. But the good shepherd is still with you today. protecting you, guarding you, uplifting you, calling out to you. Now, mind you, there are days when you will feel abandoned. Satan will raise up all kinds of problems and issues in your life to lure you away. Problems in marriage or job or health. And he'll make you feel at times when you'll cry out and say, "Where are you, God? Where are you, Good Shepherd?" You feel like the sheep that has wandered away from the flock, and now you are separated out in the darkness with no food and no water, and the prowling lion is just at your doorstep. You can see its glowing eyes, and you can hear its snarling voice, and you feel alone, utterly alone. But is that sheep surprised that the shepherd is right there with them? The shepherd is there to pick them up and to place them upon his shoulders and to lead you back to the safety of the flock with those of your own. Oh yeah, we feel abandoned. There are times when we feel like we are completely and utterly separated from God with no hope at all. But let me assure you that your good shepherd has never abandoned you. You know, one of the greatest psalms that everybody likes to hear is the 23rd Psalm, right? It's a beautiful description of the shepherd. That whole thing of the shepherd leads him out into green pastures and to the still waters and even right through the valley of the shadow of death. And notice that the sheep have no fear. I begin to ask the question, but why? Because you have a shepherd who cares for you and meets all of your needs. This is a shepherd who cares for his sheep, and the sheep begin to know their shepherd because he is with them all the time. He provides for them, and they begin to know his voice. Before refrigerators were invented, people would use ice houses to preserve, or ice boxes to preserve their food. During the cold winter months, they would go to the streams and the rivers and the ponds, and they'd cut these blocks of ice, and then they would carry them over to the ice house and stack them in there. And it was a tight building with tight door fittings, and the ice would be in there in all the sawdust, and this ice would last well into the summer, and they'd deliver it to your home, and you would put it in your ice box, and by the end of the week, you'd take the water out of the bottom and dump it and put another ice block in there. It was a fairly good system considering. On one particular day, one of the ice house workers lost a very expensive watch that I believe his father had given him. And he had raked through the sawdust and looked diligently for it everywhere and couldn't find it. And when they went out to have their lunch, they were talking about the fact that he lost this watch and to keep your eye open for it. And a little boy heard it and he snuck into the ice house and shut the door behind him. It wasn't too long later, he came out and walked over to the man and handed him his watch. And the workers were astonished. How did you find it? We looked everywhere. The boy says, "I'd simply closed the door. I laid down in the sawdust and I kept very still. Soon, I heard the watch ticking." You know, Martin Luther in his gives an example of listening to the shepherd in the third commandment. He says we should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching in his word, but gladly hear and learn it. Those who hear the voice of the good shepherd have a hunger that can only be satisfied by hearing more of God's word. They don't see Bible class as a duty or an inconvenience, but they see it as an opportunity to hear the voice of the shepherd even more clearly. I want you to know this morning as the shepherd calls out. The words are the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. Did you hear when Jesus called you by name? It was in the water of your baptism. In the book of Isaiah, it says, "Fear not, I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters and through the fire, you will not be afraid." And the whole point is that God has not only placed His name upon you, but He has called each of you by name to be a part of His sheepfold. During the second service, I hope, perhaps after the service, if he feels comfortable, there's a young Iraqi man who will pass through the water of holy baptism right here. A young man, you see the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. A young man that you know that God has called him by name, and the joy and the excitement of being a part of this body fills him. But a young man that asked me a question in my 18 and some years of ministry I've never heard before. Someone went through adult instruction and asked me the question, "Pastor, when I join the church, then what do I do?" I'm thinking to myself, I've never been asked that before. And the first thing that came to mind was, well, first of all, you want to come to worship, to be among the flock of Christ, to hear the voice of the shepherd. That's what you do. And then a part of that is not only loving the Lord your God, but also loving your neighbor as yourself. Besides the shepherd calling out for you, the shepherd also protects you. And for shepherds in the Middle Near East, they would have their flocks in the marginal ground that nobody else wanted. A land that's not plush with fence posts and barbed wire, because quite honestly, as a former shepherd or sheep herder, sheep could care less about fences. But they'd gather stones and stack them up, and with branches and sticks and briars, and they'd make an enclosure. So at night, the sheep would go through the only one door to get in, and they'd be inside of the enclosure, often many flocks together. And as night fell, one of the shepherds would literally lay down in the door of the enclosure. So if the sheep wanted out, they had to walk over the shepherd. And if a predator wanted in, it would have to go over the shepherd and through him in order to get to the sheep. It was an amazing system. But when morning came, the shepherds one by one would come to the door of the enclosure, and they would call their sheep by name. And they would stand in the entrance and allow the sheep to go between their legs, and they'd examine each one of them as they were coming out. But the amazing thing is, the sheep would only listen to the voice of their shepherd. You know, as I thought about that, I thought, you know, in our world we live in today, there are so many voices that call out to you. There are so many false doctrines that are rampant in the world today. But the central teaching to all of them is the fact that salvation has something to do with you. You have a part of it. In fact, when or if you do something, then you will receive something, but it all depends upon you. And it sounds good. Difference, God wants to bless you. All you have to do is think happy thoughts, and He will give you a life of victory. And you think to yourself, but Pastor, I'm going through stuff in my life. It's hard to have a happy thought when I'm struggling. It's hard to feel that way when it feels like the world is caving in around me and there's no hope, and I feel as if I'm out all on my own, separated from the flock. And that prowling lion seeks to devour me. But the Bible teaches a different story. Do you remember when the lawyer came up to Jesus and he said, "Teacher, which is the greatest of the law? What's the greatest commandment?" And Jesus' response was, "Well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And this is the greatest. But the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. These are the commandments that you and I must keep if we want to earn eternal life. But here's the kicker. God says you must do it perfectly. In other words, there are no timeouts. There are no gimmies. There are no do-overs. There are no mulligans. There are no mistakes. It has to be perfect every single time. If it was golf on an 18-hole course, your score at the end would be 18. Perfect every single stroke. See, here is where true religion shines through. When God's word says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, true religion shines through by saying your salvation is not dependent upon you trying harder or you defending yourself or you having a stronger faith or even you having happier thoughts or so forth. Your salvation is utterly dependent upon the shepherd, the good shepherd. When we confessed a few moments ago, a poor, miserable sinner. When we finally acknowledge that we don't love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, the Bible teaches us that God sent the Good Shepherd into the world to fulfill the law in your place. When we come to the realization that, Pastor, I don't love my neighbor as myself. I struggle with that day after day after day. We find out in God's Word that He sent forth His own Son, the Good Shepherd, into the world to fulfill the law of loving your neighbor as yourself on your behalf. When we go before God and says, I cannot bear the punishment I deserve for our sins, God sends forth His own Son, the Good Shepherd, to fulfill the punishment of the law on our behalf. You see, here's the great news, that your Good Shepherd doesn't forsake you. Your Good Shepherd not only has called you by name, He is there with you every step of the way. It's His voice that we listen to, and His voice says that your sins are forgiven. Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. It is He who loves God perfectly for you. It was He who loves your neighbor perfectly for you. It was He who died for you, who rose for you, who ascended for you. And it is He whose body is the door to eternal life. This morning, right now, He calls you by name. Can you hear Him? Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.